Hey, so over the past 5 weeks, we've been walking through a series about how to get your life back. It's based on a book by John Eldridge. If you hadn't picked that book up to maybe listen to it on Audible or to read it, I love the title. It says how to get your life back, everyday practices for a world gone mad. And I really resonate with that because I don't know about you, but for me, the whirlwind of life and my goodness, everything we went through in 2020 and still going through, this is a world gone mad. And how do you get your life back? And I think it's been a really good book. Quite frankly, I've read it about three times, or I should say listened to it about three times, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it, thoroughly put into practices in my life. So here's what you need to know. I am praying for you. And have been praying for you that you receive as much or more of what I receive, because this has been huge for me and for my life. Now, let me say this. If you are checking out Jesus, if you haven't crossed the line of faith, you're checking him out and you're trying to figure it out, you picked a great time to be here, and here's why. I want to let you know just as transparently as I can, listen, as a follower of Christ, I'm not perfect. And none of us are. There's no believer out there that's perfect. And to be more transparent, we don't have it all figured out. I don't have it figured out. And so for us, it's when we talk about our journey with Jesus, well, that's what we talk about. We talk about walking with him, and it's a journey. It's about taking steps. And I'll be honest, again, not honest, but transparent with you. Oftentimes, it's three steps forward and two steps back. I'm just being straight with you. And so you've picked a great time to join us and be a part of this, because we're looking about how to live this life that Jesus wants us to live, and we're going to see how to hang on to it as we walk every day moving forward. Now, here's why I love this book so much. I'm going to tell you something about me. I went through 2020 just like you went through 2020, and it sucked the life out of me. It was hard. It was difficult. Or, you know, in the middle of it, I didn't think it was difficult. I thought I had a handle on it. I was officing at home. I was in this cubicle, and I was in my room, and I had my study, and the whole time that we were shut down. And I mean, I got outside and walked, but, you know, worked on the computer, looking at the computer. I did Zoom meetings, and they helped some, but I'm the kind of guy that likes to hang out with people. But I really didn't see it catching up with me until later in the year, and then the church I was at, that I'm still at, the Point Church over in Belmont, we did a big Christmas event, and I ended up, because of all that we did, we had a big outdoor event. We did it over a span of 14 days. Literally from Thanksgiving to Christmas, I worked every day. And that was kind of the culmination of it all. And I was telling my wife, I don't get along with anybody. I'm contrary with everybody. I'm almost don't care about anything. And I'm just really tired despite the fact that I'm sleeping at night. And she looked at me and she says, "Well, honey, let me ask you a question." She was being really nice. And she said, "What would you, if somebody was talking to you and they shared with you all these things you just shared, what would be your counsel to them?" I mean, I've been talking to people for 40 years about things like this. And I looked at her and I said, "Well, my counsel would be, you need to go see a professional counselor because it's more than I can handle." And she said, "I think you need to listen to your advice." And I did. I did. I sought counsel. I went to a counselor. And by the 1st of January, I had a session set up, and we met. Ended up being about, he gave me about 2 hours of his time right out of the chute. And he asked me a question. He asked me, "How long you been doing ministry?" I said, "Well, I 40 years. Let's don't go there. I am old." And he said, "In that time, have you ever had a sabbatical?" And I said, "No, I've never had a sabbatical. Had some rough times, but never a sabbatical, never had a respite of that." And he said, "Here's my recommendation to you. I recommend that you take 8 weeks off of respite, not for book study, not for learning, not for anything for the church, but for you." And I looked at him and I said, you got to be kidding me. I said, I cannot go to my elders. I mean, I might could go to Pastor Ray. He's my lead pastor. I might could go to him and talk to him. But could I look at my elders? But knowing that two of my elders are lieutenants in the police department, and I'm going to go whine to them about the stuff I've got going on compared to their stuff? Really? Am I going to do that? I looked at him and I said, you got to be kidding me. I can't do that. I can't take that. I said, I got about 3 weeks of PTO remaining. I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to use those and kind of be done with it. And he said, man, I'm telling you, I recommend you take 8 weeks because you're going to need it. And so I talked to my pastor, I talked to the elders, and they looked at me and they said, go take your time. I was floored. How gracious they were to me to allow me to do that. And so I took 8 weeks. And here's something that you need to know. I was 6.5 weeks in when I woke up. I walked every morning, still walk, and I was walking before then, but I walked every morning, and 6.5 weeks into it, I walked. It was a Thursday morning, and I came home and I looked at Donna, my wife, and I said, wow, today I feel refreshed. 6.5 weeks. Wow, I got a week and a half left. And then I'm back into work. I'm back into the whirlwind. I've got 8 weeks of email because I stayed away from technology. I stayed away from email, stayed away from Facebook, stayed away from Instagram, stayed away from all that stuff. 8 weeks of that stuff piling up. Not only that, but coming into who knows how many fires that I'm going to have to come in and put out and take care of and deal with because I've been gone for 8 weeks, right? And so it's like I've got a week and a half. I've been refreshed, and I feel really good, and now, bam, I got to go back. And there's a peace crying out in me, how am I going to hang on to this? And then Pastor Clay introduced me to this book about 6 weeks ago. And he said, man, I got this book you need to read, John Eldridge, How to Get Your Life Back. And I have just been like a sponge sucking it up. I guess that's why it's so important to me, because I know what I had. I know what I lost. I know what I regained. And I want to hang on to what I've regained. And I'm asking the question, how to do that. And I actually think it starts with that's what we're dealing with. How do we keep the daily practices of getting your life back? That's why I'm here, because I'm walking with it just like you are, and I'm trying to figure out. And it starts with this passage that Pastor Clay's been reading for the past 5 weeks. I'm reading now the Message, and it says, keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. Keep vigilant. I like that word, vigilant. That's a strong word. Keep vigilant. Don't just keep watch. Keep vigilant watch over your heart. Why? Because that's where life starts. That's where all this is. This is where this restoration comes out of the heart, because out of the heart, then everything comes out of that. And, you know, I go back to December, all my negativity was coming back. I joked with one of my staff persons. He asked me about something. And I said, you need to do what you need to do, because I'm sure my idea is totally opposite of yours. I mean, it wasn't him. It was just, that's the way it was. I was like that with everybody. Unfortunately, I wasn't like that with Donna. Woo, that was good. But it's out of the heart that life wells up. Keep vigilant watch. And so, you know, I'm the student. I like to learn a little bit. And so I did a little research on that. I looked up Google. You know, that's a great way to go. Found out vigilant is watchful, wide awake, alert. Alert mean being on the lookout for danger or opportunity. Looking out for danger. Looking out for opportunity. Matter of fact, it says this is the word watchful in terms of defining vigilance is the least explicit term. So it actually gave a definition of a supervisor watching their direct reports. And sometimes, you know, you got some supervisors that are really close watching and some that aren't, but they're trying to be vigilant in that process. But this is why I like this word, because the more explicit meaning for this word is this. It suggests intense, unrelenting, wary watchfulness. Woo! Intense, unremitting, wary watchfulness. Holy mackerel. That's a whole different concept, because if this bottle represents my heart, I'm going to do everything possible, all means possible, at all costs to protect and watch my heart. And I think that's what God's trying to tell us. Guard your heart. Have this intense, unremitting watchfulness. Wary watchfulness. Be intense. Don't you get the picture? If we're going to keep what we've got, if you've been reading the book and you're putting some of these things into practices and you feel like some of this restoration is coming back and you're feeling refreshed in your life, you feel like you're getting your life back, how are you going to keep it? You have to guard it. You have to have this intense, unremitting, wary watchfulness. You've got to be intense about it, because what you have is to be prized. So I want to encourage you with that. I want to encourage you. But I want to encourage you with the words from a church planter. His name is Paul. Paul planted church in the first century, and after he planted church, he moved on to go plant in another city. And so he's writing a letter back to the church in Philippi. We get the word Philippians from that. So and these letters ultimately became part of the New Testament. And so he's writing to the church in Philippi, Philippians chapter 4. He says, "Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you." So what's this? Don't we want the God of peace? Let's put a little mathematical equation here. What was Paul saying? If you want to live with the God of peace, if you want this life, if I may say, the getting our life back, if we want to live that kind of life, what do? We keep putting into practice all that we've learned, received, heard, and saw. As we look in the New Testament, we see what Paul did. As we look at other believers that are strong and ahead of us, mentors, we watch them, we're learning from them, but we keep putting into practice. That's so huge. Won't you say it with me, all right? Keep putting into practice. You can do that. I know we're all in different places right now, but we can say that together because it's that important. Keep putting into practice these things. He planted a church in the city of Galatia. And so we get the book of Galatians, because he wrote a letter back to them and became part of the New Testament. And here's what he said: "So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up." What's he saying? He said, don't get tired. Don't wear yourself out. Don't get tired. Here's what you need to do: keep doing what is good, because at the right time, we're going to reap a harvest if we don't give up. Now, that sounds pretty good, right? I mean, on one hand, he's saying keep putting into practice. On the other hand, he's saying don't give up. Rah, rah, that's a great thing. And we can all go, man, that's really good, and that's really good. And when you turn this off, you're going to go, man, that felt really good, but what are you walking out with? Oh, yeah, it's an exhortation. Keep putting into practice. It's an exhortation. Don't give up. But again, how do you do that? How do you do that? How do we keep on keeping on with this new life that we found? How does that happen? Because listen, the book's done. If you've been reading the book, maybe you've finished the book. The series is over. But how are you going to keep this life that you're starting to regain so that you can continue to regain it? Jesus said to pray. Now, these are six simple words from Jesus. Six very simple words that were taken out of a big prayer that's called, maybe you've heard it before, called the Lord's Prayer. Again, it's found in the book of Matthew. Matthew's the first book of the New Testament. It's basically a biography of Jesus. First four books are somewhat of a biography of Jesus. Matthew records what Jesus said, and then here in verse 11, he says this. He said to pray, "Give us today our daily bread." Now, I know what you're saying. You're saying, he's talking about bread right here. He's talking about food and give us food every day. We just need food, and that's what he's talking about. But what if he's talking about more? Now, if you were in the first century and you were a Jew and you were listening to this, you might have thought about bread and going back to the wilderness experience. So this is back in the Old Testament. I don't want to get lost in that story, that event that took place. But for 40 years, God provided bread, known as manna, in the morning, every morning, because they had to get rid of what was left by the end of the day. So here's the point. God provided bread in the morning, daily bread. He provided in the morning, got them through the day. They went to bed without any food in the cupboard, trusting God that food would be there in the morning. Whoa. That's some big trust. See, here's the part. They couldn't hoard it up. They couldn't store it up because it got molded and maggots would get in it and it just went bad. Why? Because God was trying to teach them, I'll provide for you, but you got to trust me. Jesus said to pray. We got to trust Jesus when he's saying we need to pray, and we need to pray, God, give us today our daily bread. Help me today to find the life that I have. Help me today to find that. Help me to hang on to what I have. Today. I'm not worried about tomorrow. I'm worried about today because I've given out a whole lot today. Restore me today. Help me live this new life. Help me live this refreshed life. Help me live this full and meaningful life. Help me to live with the joy that you have for me today. Wow. Here's the point. That prayer, you know, I said it pretty subtle, but what if we prayed that prayer with intense, unremitting, and wary watchfulness? What if we prayed that prayer? God, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus went on to talk about more about prayer. And again, this is Matthew, the first book in the New Testament. He's recording this biography, Jesus' words, chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. He said, this is what Jesus said, ask. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Ask, seek, knock. Listen, I want to say that's praying. Ask, seek, knock. Why? Because for everyone who asks, everybody who prays receives. Everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks, prays, finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be open. Listen, oh, here's what I'm saying this morning. Pray. Here's what I'm saying this afternoon. Pray. Here's what I'm saying in the middle of the night. Pray. Here's what I'm saying all day long. Pray. Ask God, because that's all prayer is talking to God. Ask him, God, renew me, restore me. I've found that new life, that life that I wanted renewed, that the life that I lost through COVID of 2020, this life that I'm getting back, I'm beginning to find that now. Every moment of every day, morning, noon, and night, and middle of the night, and middle of the morning, and middle of the day, every time we're just praying, stopping, asking God, hey, restore me. And here's what happens. Jesus went on to say, for which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? I don't think any of us would do that. But here's what Jesus says. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. There you go. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who... Yeah, say it. Ask. Say it. Ask. Wow. Ask. Intense. Unremitting. Wary watchfulness of prayer. I mean, when have you cried out, oh God, help me take a pause in my life. Oh God, help me to unplug. Oh God, help me to see your beauty today. Oh God, help me to reveal to you the neglected parts of my soul that you can restore it. Oh God, help me to seek more than a relationship with you. Help me to have union with you. Simply praying to God. Ask. Ask. So, what's the so what? I've been talking for 20 minutes or so. What's the so what of everything I've been talking about? Here we go. The so what is this: to guard this restored life I have. Again, 6-week process. We've started to find this restoring, this refreshing, this new life. In order to guard it, I need to keep putting into practice what I have learned. That's the so what. That's the so what of everything I said. If that's the only thing you get out of this message, that is great. Keep putting into practice what I have learned. That's the so what. All right, so now what? Now what? Ask God every day. Ask God every moment. Ask God. That's what I'm saying. Ask God. Ask God. Listen, here's what I want to tell you. When you start asking God, God starts answering, but here's the deal. God's got a way to help you, and I got a way to help me. All right, so let me take it this way. I'm praying to God. I'm saying, God, restore me, renew me. And I'm thinking, here's my life right here. I'm in the whirlwind. I'm in the everyday life. And as God's going, yo, bro, you need to come over here. You need to make an adjustment and join me. A guy named Henry Blackaby wrote about that in a book called Experiencing God. If we want to join God, we got to make an adjustment, because I know my way. I know my schedule. I know where I want to spend my time. I want to know how much money I'm supposed to have. I know what I want to do. I want to know how much debt I'm going to have, X, Y, Z, I. And God's saying, hey, bro, you need to adjust your life and come over here. And that's painful. I'm going to tell you that straight up. And we can ask all we want, but until we're willing to make an adjustment and join God, we'll never get there. We'll never get the renewed life that God wants us to have. Ask God and be willing to make that adjustment. Here's what I want us to do as we wrap up today. I want you to pray with me. Would you say this with me? Oh God, help me take a pause. Oh God, help me to unplug. Oh God, help me to stop and get outside and drink in your beauty. Oh God, help me to reveal to you the neglected places of my heart that you may restore me. Oh God, help me to seek more than a relationship with you, but to seek union with you. Oh God, help me to do this every day in the name of Jesus.
Well, hey guys, thanks for joining us today. I want to say special thanks to Doug for that tremendous message and telling us that we just need to be continually asking, like, God, we want these things. We want to be in union with you. We want to put these things into practice. I encourage you to do that just so that you can stay in practice for getting your life back. And hey, if this message has been helpful to you at all in any way, could you do us a favor? Could you just share this video with some friends? By liking and subscribing to this channel, you kind of help us accomplish our mission to raise the reputation of Jesus where we live, work, and play. And along those lines, if you are there on our website, I would love for you to go up and click on the big give button that is there. Just know that when you give here, we have no benefactors. We exist solely on your support and your giving, and we would love it if you would choose to give to God here by going to nextlevelchurch.org/give. Choose one of the options that's there and know that every dollar you give helps us to raise the reputation of Jesus where we live, work, and play. Well, before we head on to today, let me read one last time the verse that we have been in from the beginning of this series as we have read in benediction. Isaiah chapter 40, where he says this, "But those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag behind." Friends, may you, as you begin to put these things to practice every single day, just go out and do it. As you do, may you be strengthened. May you soar like eagles. And may you have life and life to the full and let that spill out on everyone around you. Hey guys, thanks for being here again today. We'll see you next week as we start something new. Just know that all through this week, we're praying for you and we love you.